Hey guys, for this month's rebroadcast, we are going to be rebroadcasting the episode that we did originally on baking powder versus baking soda and what's the difference. So that goes along really well with the acid-base chemistry we talked about last week. And also, it'll be fun to compare and contrast how good was I back then versus how good am I now?
Yeah, and this episode's super cool, and it has been cemented in my mind for the most part in the practice of when I'm using either baking powder or baking soda, I don't get them mixed up, you know, as easily. Mm-hmm. I know which one's which and why.
Yep.
And it's super interesting, and I did not know that at all before this episode. So
yeah,
enjoy it. And if you hadn't heard it a long time, enjoy it again. Or if you've never gone back in our feed and listened to these older episodes, then enjoy it for the first time.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Happy listening. Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jam.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast where we help you understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
Okay, Jam, are you ready to learn what you're going to learn about today?
Yes, I'm very ready to learn about what I'm going to learn about, what I'm going to learn about today.
You're going to learn about baking soda. Wait, okay. Hang on. Do you bake ever?
Sometimes, but it's probably my least favorite part of cooking. Like,
oh, wow. That is unrelatable to me.
I know. I'm sorry. The least favorite category of cooking. I don't.
Like, you think you're too good for baking and you're better than everyone who bakes.
Right,
no,
right.
We know that you feel that way.
No, I don't feel that way. I feel like a lot less confident in that area completely.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I just don't go there very much.
Well, I'll help you get more confident in that area today because we're going to talk about baking soda.
Okay.
That's the orange box one.
Uh-huh.
The orange box.
That always makes me think of Rosie the Riveter.
Oh, yeah. I was Rosie the Riveter for Halloween one time.
Oh, nice.
That actually plays nicely into a little thing I'm going to tell you later, but it's fine. So we're going to learn about baking soda in the orange box with the Rosie the Riveter arm. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about baking powder.
Okay.
That's the one that comes in the little circle can usually that's resealable mm-hmm. on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about what the heck is the difference between them.
Nice. Okay, good. That's very, very good.
Yeah.
Can maybe prevent a horrible baking mistake in my future.
Or it'll just help you be like, oh, I know what this does and this does when these two things happen.
Well, you know, sometimes one or two of those things are called for in a non-baking dish. Like I think I was making a sauce that called for one at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still applicable even if I don't bake.
That's true.
Still help me.
All right. So, but before we do that, before I tell you about those things and we talk about the difference and all that, I want to hear about how your week was.
Dude, it was all right. It was not my favorite week in the world.
Oh no, really? Why?
Well, there was this, I feel like every week I've been talking about how I'm trying to apply for jobs and stuff like that. So it was a super sweet job that a friend of ours had told me about and got all my stuff in order, got everything looking awesome with a lot of help and went to submit all of it. This was to one of the universities in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was very suddenly closed already. It was like, had not been open for very many days.
No. Yeah. That's so sad.
But I still had the thing, like the page up or whatever. Like, I still had like the page. I had the job in my cart or whatever.
Right.
But when I actually tried to hit submit, it said error. And I was like, this is not available anymore. So that was a huge bummer. And I was like,
that's so sad.
Yeah. A lot of my week last week was built around like getting all that stuff ready leading up to that. And then it was just a total anticlimactic ending to it. So university, that one that's in our town, if you're listening, hire me. Still here.
I thought you were going to say, I'm mad at you. That's what I would have said. University, I'm mad at you.
Well, I think this university, if they're listening, is in the position to, they've got all the power. So
that's true.
I could be mad or I could still be just willing to work for them, which I think I'm the second one, if we're both honest.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's true. Not worth it to be mad, so but that was, just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my week.
Dang, that's sad. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm over it now. I mean, sort of.
You're I'm over it. I'm not mad.
Well, I still did the, I found out like who I think the supervisor is and I sent them my stuff. So,
oh, nice.
So I there's still a chance. It's not, it could be like a to be continued kind of thing.
Right.
Which would be pretty sweet, but I don't know.
Well, my week was not like that. I had the opposite of your not working issue where I worked constantly.
Uh-huh.
But there's something that's making me very happy right now, and I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
it's something in the air. You can feel it coming. It's the best time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Yes, exactly. So I
Christmas.
Love, no.
Oh.
This is not right, Jam. It's not Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Every year around this time, a podcast that I love called Spooked comes out.
Ooh.
And this is what harkens the coming of my favorite 6 months of the year.
Uh-huh.
My favorite half of the year.
Uh-huh.
So first comes Spooked. It's 13 weeks before Halloween. It's a spooky episode that comes out once a week until Halloween.
Got it.
For 13 weeks. After Spooked comes out, this is when I know everything exciting is about to happen. The weather starts getting cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey season starts.
Uh-huh.
That's like my favorite.
Uh-huh.
After hockey season starts, then Halloween comes. I love Halloween. I didn't used to care about Halloween, but my friend in college got me really into it.
Uh-huh.
I started to realize how fun it was to dress up like Rosie the Riveter or Mario or, you know, a Golden Snitch, whatever it is. And so Halloween is coming. And then after Halloween, it's going to get even colder and I can wear all my cute sweaters and comfy clothes. And I love that season.
Dude, I like that too. I'm not going to be wearing as many cute sweaters and stuff like that, but I do like the changing of the seasons. I like whenever just things change and it's like, okay, I can wear something different or just starts looking different outside. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about
that. I think you just like when things change in general, like then you're happy about summer coming back, but I'm not. We'll get to that.
Oh, wait, I'm not happy about summer coming back.
Oh, you're not? Oh, okay.
Summer's like probably the least favorite of mine.
Yeah, I hate all of that.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I was about to say.
Uh-huh.
After it gets cold, then it's Thanksgiving with your family, and then it stays cold, and then it's Christmas, which I do love, and then it still stays cold for several more months, and then it's my birthday, and then it's spring break, and then I hate everything after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting if the Dallas Stars get into the playoffs, but that's not a guarantee, and it's just getting hotter, and the end is just coming, and all that's sad.
So basically, there's a big chunk of the year that we're just kind of waiting for it to be over.
That's what I do. From roughly April until...
Now-ish. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm really happy because I can feel that. The anticipation of autumn coming is, it's tingling all around me. I can feel it. It's very close.
Yeah. I think I can feel it too.
Well, it won't be too long before your wife just starts lighting fall scented candles all over the house.
She actually has already started doing that.
Has she?
I should have known.
That's how you could feel it too. Okay.
Baking soda, baking powder.
Baking powder. Do you know what the purpose of both of those things are in baking? Why do people put those in? If you watch the Great British Bake Off, you should know.
I have never watched that.
Okay.
So I do not.
That's a mistake. Am I right? Population?
I'm trying to think if I have any guesses at all. Baking soda is the volcano one.
Yes, but what does it do in baking? That's good. We're going to get to that. You're jumping ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. It's like the only association that comes to mind.
Okay, then I'll just cut you loose and let you know.
All right.
So it is in the volcano. We'll definitely do that. What they do in cookies and cakes and all that is they're a rising agent. They are what causes the cakes to rise. Both of them are.
Whoa.
They cause the cakes to rise and get fluffy cakes and bakes to get fluffy and delicious.
Okay.
Not, I guess the other flavors make them delicious, but that's what they do. The reason it causes them to rise is it's putting air bubbles into the batter.
Interesting. Are we going to get into a little bit of how on that? Because I have like a lot of questions now.
We definitely are.
Okay,
I'm glad you have a lot of questions. That's good.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that. But for right now, think about your volcano reaction.
Okay.
So it's baking soda. In vinegar, and what happens?
It reacts and then it expands, or I guess it's a lot of bubbles too,
but
it just suddenly overflows whatever it's in, no matter what.
Right. So that is a reaction that's happening. So right now we're not going to understand the difference yet. I'm just going to tell you the bare minimum of how rising agents work, and then we're just going to talk about the difference.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a reaction that's happening when you mix baking soda with acid.
Okay.
Okay. That reaction evolves gas and puts all the bubbles in.
Okay.
Okay. So it happens pretty quickly when you do the volcano reaction because there's usually a lot of it.
Right.
And so and it's usually in a small container. That's why it volcanoes out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of it and it goes poof and comes out very quickly. That is an acid-base reaction.
Okay.
So do you know much about acids and bases?
I do from my time, only as they apply to pools, because I worked at a pool store and I tested water. So the closest I ever got to like actually doing the chemistry. So I would test waters, like pH and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, a very basic definition is, it's a thorough, it's just one definition, is something that gives up a hydrogen plus cation. So that is basically, you know, hydrogen on the periodic table. Hydrogen has one electron.
Yes.
If you take that one electron away from the hydrogen atom, that's called a proton. It's technically a cation, but it's just referred to the H plus. When you lose an electron, you're positive. My cousin told me this joke to remember that, that you say, an atom ran into a bar and said, "I think I lost an electron." And the bartender says, "Are you positive?" That's how you remember. So it's just basically a hydrogen atom that's lost its one electron. So it's positive and leaves a proton is what we call it.
Okay.
So an acid is something that can give up that proton.
Okay.
And a base is something that can take that proton.
Oh, interesting.
So it's usually represented in science as basically an H plus moving from one molecule to another molecule.
Wait, it can give up. Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So hydrogen wants to have one electron.
Hydrogen naturally has one electron.
And I'm not totally understanding the definition yet, only because I think in my head acids are, I don't really have an understanding of what a base is so much in my like everyday
that's
life.
That's very normal, yeah.
But acids, I'm like, oh, dude, this stuff like that burns, or it's like like kind of intense, or things are like a little bit acidic where it's like you can almost kind of feel it or taste it depending on the food or whatever. And so that's like where the word acid has mostly been applied in my life.
Right.
And pool chemicals.
Yes. So probably the rest of the world wouldn't have that pool chemical experience, but a lot of times actually bases are also that caustic burn can hurt you. So try to take what you know about acids or acidity and put it away.
Okay.
Just don't think about it now and think about this new science definition.
Okay.
So it's just a hydrogen atom that's lost its electrons.
Okay.
Moving back and forth, kind of.
Okay.
The acid will send it over to the base. More accurately, the base will take it away from the acid.
Okay.
So is that driving with you? Can you say it back to me one more time?
So an acid, so there's in every acid, there's hydrogen?
In the definition of acid and base that we're using, that, yes, there are hydrogen atoms on the molecule that are willing to be given up. Yes.
So not every, so not, don't, I shouldn't make it that broad reaching. In this scenario, the acid we're talking about that has hydrogen atoms in the molecule, acid has the, its electron, that hydrogen has its electron taken away.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, so really what happens is the base has an abundance of electrons.
Okay, okay.
So a good way to think about it is those electrons come over and they nab the hydrogen without the electrons the hydrogen already has, those stay behind. So it just takes the basically the proton of the hydrogen and leaves the electrons behind.
Okay. Okay.
So that's an H plus. That's what it's called. Something that loses its electrons becomes positive. So it's just a hydrogen that's lost one electron.
Okay.
So it takes the hydrogen without the electron and that's what happens.
Okay.
I don't know what I thought I was going to say, but that's it.
Okay.
So it's just that H plus moving. The acid gives away the H plus and the base takes the H plus. The acid gives away the hydrogen, but keeps its electrons. And the base takes the hydrogen with none of it, the original electron.
Okay, sweet. So acid, electrons, keeps the electrons.
Yes.
Base has the positive, the proton.
T
takes the positive.
Takes. So the base takes.
The base starts out very negative, and that's why it wants the positive from that. From that acid.
Okay.
Can you say that one more time? Okay.
So a base is starts out pretty negative.
Yes.
And so it wants this positivity.
Yes.
And so it's like, give me the proton. Or I'll be mad or whatever. So it takes the proton from this hydrogen, but leaving the electron. So it's taking just an H plus.
Yes.
And then the electrons are left behind, which is an acid.
The acid was what it starts out
as. It already was an acid.
Okay. Yeah. So everything you said was right. It takes the protons. It takes the proton. It leaves the electrons behind on what used to be the acid.
Okay.
The new name of that is conjugate base. That doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But it starts out as an acid because it has that proton that's it's willing to lose.
Okay.
And the base is the negative one, takes the proton, leaving behind the electrons and creating, turning the acid from an acid into a conjugate base.
Okay.
That doesn't, that last part doesn't matter a lot, but it seemed like you were getting caught up on that. So the acid is what it starts as. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You think you got it?
I think so.
You know what an acid and a base are now?
Yes. Okay. Although, yeah, it feels a little bit not related yet to real life, but hopefully that'll change.
Well, hopefully it will change because when you add the vinegar and the baking soda together, now remember we were talking about baking soda.
Yes.
When you add those two things together, that reaction is happening.
Okay.
The vinegar has protons. That's what makes it acidic. That's what gives it that acidic flavor. The base, that's the baking soda, is very negative and it wants to take the protons from the vinegar. And that reaction, as that's happening, it creates air bubbles.
Okay.
Now, this isn't very important unless you're just really interested in chemistry, which hopefully you are from listening to this. Yeah. But just so you know what gas it is and how that all happens, why are you smiling?
I was just thinking about how, like, they wouldn't have even clicked on this. It's, like, so clear this is a chemistry podcast. Like, whoever's listening would not
I guess it's just, like, this isn't crucial, but this explains why it gives off gas, what gas it is in this case. So, baking soda, the formula of the atoms is one hydrogen, one carbon, and three oxygens.
Okay.
Okay, when it gets another proton, it becomes two hydrogens, one carbon, and three oxygens. It just takes that hydrogen, H goes from being HCO3 to H2CO3.
Okay.
So two hydrogens.
Yeah.
When you have that, it will break up into water and CO2. Do you know what CO2 is?
Carbon dioxide.
Yes. Okay. So H2CO3. If you write those out and move them around, they will rearrange to H2O and CO2. You have enough atoms of all of those to make that. And so that will naturally happen. After the baking soda gets a proton, it will break apart into H2O and CO2.
Okay.
CO2 is a gas.
Yeah.
Those are the little bubbles that you're seeing.
Got it. And that's CO2 is carbonation. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're not there yet. Dang That's it. Another lesson for another time.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I was like, wait, I know where that is.
Yes, that is in something else. And I have that on our list to talk about.
Okay. So you're combining these two things, vinegar.
Yes.
And baking soda.
Baking soda.
And it reacts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happens is that it takes, the vinegar is one that's taking.
The vinegar is the acid.
Yeah. No.
It's giving.
The baking soda is one that's taking.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a hydrogen from.
Well, a proton because it doesn't.
Proton.
It takes a hydrogen without the electron. Yeah, yeah. So that's key.
But it does end up having an effect on the makeup of the leftover stuff.
Because it's still
a
hydrogen. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a hydrogen without the electron.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changes the one, while that's all happening, air or bubbles of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Are created, which is carbon dioxide, because the main letters, which is one hydrogen, one carbon, and two oxygens.
Three oxygens. Because it has to give one oxygen to H2O and keep two oxygens behind for CO2.
So baking soda starts out as one carbon, one hydrogen, and three oxygens.
Yes.
And then when the whole reaction is happening with the vinegar, it takes a hydrogen minus the electron.
Yes.
And then because of that, and things get reconfigured. Mm-hmm. Where the letters of the different elements that are there, one of them becomes CO2, I mean, which is the gas that starts bubbling.
Yes.
Like crazy.
Yep.
The other one's just basically water.
It is water.
H2O.
Yep.
And then it's like, it's all going on all at once. Mm-hmm. But that's like...
Yeah, and really, scientists know a lot, but it's hard to say. I don't know if they've looked into exactly how this happens. I would assume that before it breaks up, first it becomes H2CO3, and then it breaks up. So I'm sure I could look into that and find out if that happens in that order, or if it some other mechanism happens where immediately it forms the other two, but it doesn't matter a ton.
Okay.
It is my instinct that the H2CO3 forms and then the H2CO3 breaks up very quickly into H2O and CO2.
Okay.
And we can put that on there so that we can put that on there. We can put that on Instagram so that you guys can see, and Twitter. I love my Twitter peeps, my tweeps. You can see sort of how the H2CO3 breaks into H2O and CO2. And I think it'll be easier when you can see those letters spelled out.
Yeah.
So, and you don't really have to worry about the bonds breaking or how they rearrange unless you want to go into science class. You'll learn all about that. It doesn't matter a ton. All you need to know is that happens, and that's how gas is formed. Okay.
Got it.
So if you, so you got it, you know what happens with a vinegar reaction. Now, if you put that base into your baked goods with something acidic, like say if you're making a lemon cake, lemon juice is acidic. It's got those protons going on.
Yeah.
So you put baking soda and lemon juice and everything else in your batter, and then you pop it in the oven. That reaction is happening much slower, or not much slower, but it's less violent, less intense, because it's not as much stuff. It's just a little bit of the baking soda, a little bit of the lemon juice, and they're not as close to each other or any of that.
Which is kind of good, because you want like a volcano of a cake in your oven. So,
and as you add heat, usually reactions happen faster. So I would assume that what happens, you put all that batter in, it's probably a reaction's already starting to happen. You can usually see a little bit of bubbles in your batter before you put it in the oven, right?
Interesting.
Can you think of that? Can you think of seeing that? If you've made a cake from scratch. Yeah,
I think I've just thought of it as like things settling, but yes. Yeah, yeah.
I have one lemon cake that I make that there's a lot of rising agent, and you can see that bubble, that bubble starts straight away. And that means that it's kind of on a timer. You got to get it in that oven quick because the reaction's already happening. So that's happening, but as it bakes and that moisture is leaving and everything, the air bubbles leave little gaps in the batter. So that causes there to be little, those little air holes in your cake that make it light and fluffy.
Nice. That's very interesting, because I just trying to go off of just intuition as a layman, the idea of putting some powder into a batter would in my mind just make it thicker. Like I would just think like, this is just going to get thicker. It's just going to.
That's what flour does.
Right. That's probably why. Because it's like, Yeah, it's like assuming all powders are going to perform like flour will.
Right.
But it just would be my assumption without understanding what's going on. Even so, like, even if someone told me like over and over and over, like this is what's going to happen. It's going to make it fluffier. It wouldn't just start making sense to me just because someone keeps saying that, unless they explain it.
Like, well, and if there's no acid present and you just throw some baking soda in and you don't give it anything to react with, it will do that. It'll leave a baking soda flavor and thicken up your batter, and it'll be gross.
So does that flavor not, is that flavor a lot less prominent when you actually do have something acidic?
Yeah, because the baking soda's gone. It's become CO2 and H2O.
Wow.
Which are basically flavorless. One's gas and one's water.
Yeah.
So now that's baking soda. We've been talking about baking soda this whole time.
Okay.
What do you think baking powder is?
Is baking powder the opposite?
Like it would be acid, you mean?
Yeah. Is it acid?
No, but that is, I mean, kind of. That's like smart, a smart thing that you're like, I'm just going to add powdered acid and then it'll be basic. No, it is already the acid and the base mixed together. But because they're mixed together in the dry form, they are not able to react. They need a method to move around together and interact. I mean, there might be a very little. I don't know how that would happen. But usually reactions need to happen with some kind of medium for them to interact with each other. So they put the acid in the base. It's baking soda with an acidic powder. I think it's like cream of tartar or something. Together in there. And then when you put it in and add your liquid, it starts reacting.
That is incredible. I wish you guys could see my face right now.
His face is like as if he's being washed over with knowledge. Yeah. Just amazed.
It's like someone just like ladling knowledge on top of my brain and it's starting to soak in.
Or someone turned on the light and he saw a room for the first time. Yeah. Like, oh, this is what the world looks
there
like.
There are rooms now?
Yeah. I don't know why I said turn on the light and saw a room. Like, you could have like walked outside for the first time and seen grass.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, whoa, structures.
Your face is, yes. Wow.
But seriously, I didn't know. That is genius. The idea that like, at first I was thinking like, wow, okay, that's kind of cool because bacon soda, I guess if you happen to be making a cake that's already acidic, I guess that'd be helpful. But I was kind of thinking like, well, I guess there's a lot of reasons that won't apply, or like a lot of recipes where I'm not going to be able to use the fluffy, like, you know, tool niceness of baking soda. But then just as I was kind of, that was sinking in, you're like, but wait,
there's more.
There's more. Because that's genius.
Yeah. They're so, people are so smart. I don't know who came up with baking powder, but like, that's amazing that someone thought to do that.
Yeah, that really is amazing.
So cool. So I will say this.
Okay.
So I was doing this and I like to just do a little pre fact check to make sure I'm doing things right. This one I already knew is just in my brain from years. It's kind of hard to give credit. I don't think it's plagiarizing if you just have the knowledge from going through class, but...
Or it's like, how could you cite every single thing that you've ever read or learned or...
Right.
And you wouldn't even know which really thing you're actually referencing.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, that's not really worth it. But I was looking at some recipe places that I like to sort of see which ones use baking powder and which ones use baking soda. So I knew my lemon cake. I use a lemon cake from Love, Life, and Sugar. It's amazing. And that one uses, it uses baking soda plus a little bit of baking powder because there's not enough of the acidic lemon juice to make the whole thing bubbly. Then I went to look at Nestle chocolate chip cookies and they use baking soda, not baking powder, which I was really surprised by. So I Googled what's acidic in chocolate chip cookies, and Sally's Baking Addiction website told me that brown sugar is acidic. I didn't even know that.
It's because of the molasses?
I don't know. Or I didn't look any further, but I just got really interested. I thought, I went to that chocolate chip cookie recipe 100% sure it would use baking powder, and it uses baking soda. And I thought, what? So I learned something new too, and I was just excited and wanted to share. I can look into what makes brown sugar acidic, but I kind of ran. I was doing something else and didn't think to go further. But isn't that crazy? I didn't know.
It's crazy. I would have thought the same thing just with my new, very noob knowledge. I would have thought like, well, I've had many chocolate chip cookies of all baking things. That's an area I'm a lot more experienced in. And I would have totally, totally thought it'd be powder, not soda. Weird.
You seemed so happy.
Yeah.
seemed so happy to have learned this. Well,
I think I started getting a little bit like not as hopeful that I was going to have an aha. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, I just got to get through this and like remember this stuff. I'm struggling. And then it started making sense. And then I got it. And then you blew my mind. And then, so now I'm like excited because there's a point where I was like not feeling confident about my learning abilities.
Right.
I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah. And that's probably a little bit on me too, because I thought, oh, explaining acids and bases is going to be so easy. But it's always interesting to me. It's just a fun challenge for me to have to learn a new way to explain something because I'm so deep in it. I think I can do a pretty good job of pulling myself out and trying to see it from a non-chemist perspective, but I am so in it. There are some things that I think are just basic knowledge that are not. And well, it's
like,
crazy.
And that would be basic knowledge for any chemist. It's like, that was like years ago for you.
I mean, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Since I was in high school.
Yeah. Whereas like, maybe that was something that was explained to me when I was in high school, but then it hasn't been since then. I've never had to think about it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a very basic building block for you. Whereas like it was a basic building block for many of us probably at some point in school or whatever, but it wasn't basic building block enough for life that it just got forgotten or left or never really understood in the first place.
Yeah. It was fun. That was a fun one. It was a fun, interesting challenge. Okay. Well, now, just because it was a little confusing at the beginning, I want you to go all the way back to the beginning, do a quick explanation. It doesn't really have to be quick, but do a quick overview.
Okay.
and tell me everything that you learned as if I'm someone that didn't already know it. And you guys, Jam made me this cold brew coffee. No, it's not cold brew. Jam made me this iced coffee. He made one for me and one for his wife, Emily. And it is so tasty. He's very good at coffee. I am really enjoying this. So I'm looking forward to being able to, can you hear the?
Yeah, it's coming through.
I'm looking forward to being able to drink this delightful drink while I learn.
Okay, so from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
Acids and bases are different.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, one for one. Bases take away the, in this scenario, take away the hydrogen.
I should clarify that. There are different definitions of acid and base. Mm-hmm. This is one. This is the general one that most people think of when they think of acids and bases. Mm-hmm. There are other definitions that different types of chemists use. It doesn't matter a lot. I just didn't want you to think. I wanted you to have the whole picture.
Okay.
So it's not a big deal that you have to say in this scenario. This is the most common type or definition of acid.
Yeah. A base takes away the hydrogen and but leaves the electron, the one electron the hydrogen has.
Yeah, that's really important.
And so then it takes this positive hydrogen and leaves that electron. So then the acid has these electrons that are extra or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now the acid has become a basic.
Mm-hmm. And then the base has taken on these positive hydrogens.
Usually to make it neutral.
So in the case of like vinegar and baking soda, when that happens, the baking soda is taking on those hydrogens.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes it in that reaction that's going on. The things are reconfigured, the elements are reconfigured and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which creates CO2, which is bubbles, which causes that like expansive explosiveness.
Yeah.
And water. Mm-hmm. So then the original makeup, which is one carbon, one hydrogen, and three oxygens, becomes carbon with two oxygens, better known as carbon dioxide.
Yep.
And two hydrogens and an oxygen, which is H2O, which is water.
Right.
So that's happening in that volcano scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to baking, take the baking soda still from the volcano.
Yes.
Put that into something that's already acidic, like the lemon cake. It does the same thing where it reacts, creates carbon dioxide and water.
Mm-hmm.
So the baking soda itself stops kind of existing as we know it.
Yep.
It doesn't leave a flavor. And because of it's happening slower, not as fast as and explosive as the volcano, it creates...
Tasty chocolate cake volcano.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. It creates, because of the air bubbles, or not air bubbles, but the carbon dioxide bubbles.
Right.
Make the cake fluffier. That happens slowly while the thing's cooking. And... so it's like, just slow that way down and make it way less violent. And it creates a fluffiness rather than like a foamy liquidiness. But then things got crazier because people figured out how to make baking powder, which is like, don't worry about whether you're trying to make a cake that already has acidity in it, like a lemon cake or whatever.
Right.
This thing is already the full package.
Yeah.
It's got acid and base. And you just put it in there, and because it's going to get wet and whatever else and dissolve into something, while you're baking it, it's going to have the same reaction without already having to be acidic.
Yes.
And it's going to make your baked good or whatever fluffy.
Your cakes and bakes fluffy.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Oh, man. what a test.
This is a good one. This is a shout out to, I should have said this at the beginning, but I didn't. Part of what inspired this is the new season of Great British Bake Off has come out. And normally we in America have to wait 6 or 8 months uh-huh. to get it. And maybe it's not that long, but that's mm-hmm. how it feels. And now they're Netflix is releasing it by episode every week. So we only have to wait like 3 days.
Interesting.
So this is a shout out to the Great British Bake Off and Cakes and Bakes. It's all very exciting.
Whoa.
And I am a baker, so I can put some pictures of my cake online for you people
should.
To look
I've
at.
I've had some of these cakes without knowing any of the chemistry behind them. I've had some of them. And with no real credentials or knowledge, I can attest that they are delicious.
Yay. I'm so glad you think so. Also, I want to give you the UK a shout out because we have like 75 downloads there.
Yeah, they're like making up of a sizable percentage.
They are. And Canada, my people in Canada uh-huh. are killing it. We have, I think, 100 downloads in Canada. They're the first country. If they haven't already, they will be the first country to reach triple digits.
Second country?
Oh, besides us. Yeah, I wasn't counting the states. I meant the first country outside of us.
Because we already, yeah. Right. First country outside of us.
Yes.
Dude, Canada.
I don't count us as a country.
Yeah, we used to be, but you know, not so much anymore. Canada, hit us up, dude.
Yeah, Canada, I love you. I just look up pictures of places in Canada to be happy.
Yeah.
So Canada, and you've got my favorite sport. I just have so much to thank you for.
Thanks, Canada.
Thanks, Canada. And thanks all of you guys for listening and for learning about chemistry this week.
Melissa and I have a lot of ideas of topics of chemistry in everyday life, but we do want to hear from you about thoughts, ideas, or questions you might have from your everyday life that you want to know the chemistry behind. So hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Gmail at chemforyourlife. That's chem, F-O-R, your life, to share your thoughts and ideas. And if you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe on any podcast app, your favorite one, your least favorite one, whatever. And if you really like it, yeah, if you really like it, you can write us a review on Apple Podcasts. That'll help us to share this podcast with even more people.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by Melissa Collini and Jam Robinson. Jam Robinson is our producer, and we'd like to give a special thanks to A. Kiwasong and V. Garza, who reviewed this episode.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Save.